just settle yourselves as you are and come to the rhythm of your own breath in your own body, feeling the in-breath and the out-breath. Noticing where you most experience the in-breath and the out-breath. Is it at your diaphragm, your chest and heart, or perhaps even your nostrils? Wherever it is, just let yourself settle into the gentle rise and fall of your own breath in your own body. Breathing in and out at your own rhythm. You can always come home to the rhythm of your own breath and your own body. You can always come home to grounded presence, just right here, right now, nowhere else to go, just following the rhythm of your own breath in your own body. And as you continue to follow the gentle breath, in-breath and out-breath, listen with soft ears to Suzuki Roshi's guidance from Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. The most important thing in taking the Zazen posture is to keep your spine straight, your ears and your shoulders should be on one line. Relax your shoulders and push up towards the ceiling with the back of your head and pull your chin in. When your chin is tilted up, you have no strength in your posture. You are probably dreaming. To gain strength in your posture, press your diaphragm down towards your hara, or lower abdomen. This will help you maintain your physical and mental balance. Your hands form the cosmic mudra. If you put your left hand on top of your right, middle joints of your middle fingers together, and touch your thumbs lightly together, as if you held a piece of paper between them, your hands will make a beautiful oval. Keep this universal mudra with great care, as if you were holding something very precious in your hand. Your hands are held against your body, with your thumbs at about the height of your navel. Hold your arms freely and easily, and slightly away from your body, as if you held an egg under each arm without breaking it. You should not be tilted sideways, backwards, or forwards. You should be sitting straight up as if you were supporting the sky with your head. This is not just form or breathing. It expresses the key point of Buddhism. It is a perfect expression of your Buddha nature. When you have this posture, you have the right state of mind. So there is no need to try to attain some special state. Now, thanking Suzuki Roshi, just continue to center in your breath, the rhythm of your own breath, gentle in-breath, gentle out-breath, to the end of the period of Zazen.
Recording in progress.
I'm going to do something unorthodox. I need a little help for my... Yes. Missed. Well, while I get settled, last week when Jean and I talked, we didn't actually give any homework, but I thought it might be a good idea to check in about how the week went. And we did talk about coming home to ourselves, touching into our hearts, the support of Sangha in our sitting. And so I'm wondering, does anybody have anything they'd like to share about how the themes from last week have carried through this week for you, if they have? And you can either online do your digital hand or here. We'll just take a couple. But how has your week been with this? Yes, in the back. Yes, James.
Do we want to use the mic?
I don't know. I'm not the boss of it.
You can talk to the bosses. The bosses are in the front row.
Yep. There you go. Thank you.
I've been doing a study in my own life about what home is.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's much more than a physical location where I live. Because home seems to travel with me.
Mm-hmm.
So this week I was reading a wonderful
gallery.
And in
gallery.
She talked about home being coherence between our inner world, our outer world, our values, our activities, our relationships, all that being in harmony, and that's home.
Oh.
So I like that way of talking about it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Does anybody else have anything they want to share, either in the room or online? Yes, John.
I loved your...
Just a moment. You've got to have the mic.
I loved your instruction about feeling where the breath goes. You did it again today. You know, where the breath goes. I've been learning how to breathe again.
Oh.
And having it go, reminding me hold my breath.
Ah, yes.
And to release all of it.
Oh.
So I heard that and I was really struck by it, and I think I practiced it some this week.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Well, maybe we'll go on. Last week, is my mic? Yeah, it's still working. Last week when we started, I chanted the Fukanza Zengi. And Jean and I have decided that every week we need to chant or read or speak the Fukanza Zengi. just to get it inside us, you know? But I wanted to try something different, so it's going to be a little bit of an experiment because I'm wanting us to break into pairs. That's why you in the room, I hope you all have a copy, or most of you, and here's one extra if you need it, of the Fukanza Zengi. And I'd like you to divide into pairs and read the Fukanza Zengi to each other in your pair, a paragraph at the time, so you're alternating. So you hear it from another person and you speak it. But it may be a little complicated online, so Shufi, can you put that link in right now in the chat? Okay, everybody, Shufi has put a link to the document, the Fukanza Zengi, into the chat. Please click it, because you're going to need it in your little pairs online. Can everybody, or hopefully most of you, find it and click it? Maybe give me a thumbs up if you get that document. Oh my goodness. I don't want you to be sitting for 10 minutes and you have nothing to read. How is it going? Does anybody not have it yet? Have a copy of it? Andrea? So whoever you're paired with, hopefully they will have it and you can work something out between you, or they can read it to you. Okay. Well, no, they're going to not hear it. I'm not going to chant it. You're going to speak it to each other.
Right.
Yeah. So you're going to go into breakout groups for, I was thinking 10 minutes in order to have time to speak the whole thing to each other. And then if you might have a minute or so after to share how that was, or not, you'll see. So, Shufi, you ready to do it? And here, please put yourself into pairs.
And alternate
reading a paragraph to each other. Start
Yes, start
whenever you're ready. People are arriving shortly. Thank you, Shufi. I know you had to put out some fires there. I'm not sure how it all went.
Recording in progress.
And can you make it so it's the gallery view for me?
Okay.
I don't really like to just look at myself. I much prefer to see the people online and you in the room. Well, that sounded like being at the Tower of Babel or something. Does anybody want, just for a moment, to comment either online or in person, anything, if there was anything about the experience of reading it to each other? Perhaps there isn't, but I'm just curious. Anything? Yes, please.
Well, it's much better than reading it to yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Much. I mean, it just made all the difference, I think.
It kind of pops, right, when you read it to another antiphonally like that. Yeah. Oh. She said it's much better than reading it to yourself. I see Steve Gross online.
Yeah, I just wanted to say it felt so good to be read to.
Mm.
You know, to have that read to me was so soothing. It reminded me of when I was a little child, my father used to read to me, and I just loved it. Mm-hmm. It was so nurturing.
Huh.
So I'm really glad we did that, because I really feel warmed up.
Oh, that makes me happy. That makes me feel good. Thank you, Steve. Oh dear, I've got to get back to gallery. Any other? Oh yes, I see you, Meg.
So the person that I was with, and I wanted to be able to see one another. Mm-hmm. So we were both looking for copies of it to read, and we ended up with different translations.
Well, that's cool. I hope.
It was very cool. So we were reading the one in front of us that had one translation, and it caused you to hear it differently.
Yes.
And then to be able to connect with that. I really liked hearing it read to, the parts being read to me, but it also just seemed very connective, even though we were reading different translations, to do that. I really, there were some bits here and there that I caught that were like, oh, I don't remember reading that before. And
yeah,
it was helpful. So I really liked that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I'm glad. Yes, Neil?
In our group, we had one chanter and one reader. I was a chanter. I like to chant. And we noticed that there seems to us that there may be a different part of the brain or the mind involved whether text is chanted or read. When I chant, I think my mind is less trying to tease apart the intellectual concepts, and it's more ritualized and embodied.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that chanting is like better than reading, because reading is great too, and who doesn't love to be read to, like Steve said. But it's interesting, just something that we both kind of discovered.
Wonderful, thank you. Yes, yes.
Do I need the mic?
Yeah, you do, Don.
So they can hear you on mic.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Doing it together, I felt like it was like giving and receiving, like we were understanding it together at the same time, and sometimes we would seem to smile at the same time because some little part of it really pleased us. And so I loved that feeling of giving and receiving to each other when we did it.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. Let's see. I see Heidi online.
Yes, I have a question. Which translation are you using?
The one I use and that we're using is the one that we in Everyday Zen use. And it's also the one that they use at San Francisco Zen Center. So if you want to get it, you just go to San Francisco Zen Center, you know, their chants, and you can get their version. But there are a lot of others, and I encourage you to go find them. And
I'm used to cause, and I was wondering, you know.
Yeah.
I guess I expected that one. But anyway, thank you very much.
I'm sorry. I know. Isn't it funny how certain words and translations, they become part of us. And when we hear it differently, it's like, wait, that's not right. And well, this one has some phrases you'll see later that I really love, but I don't think they come out quite the same in a different translation. So it's good to bend our minds some to different translations. Yes, Greg?
Yeah. Nomi gave a talk a month or so ago in which he quoted Suzuki saying there were like three things you need to emphasize in Zazen, and the first one was posture.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that when Dogen talks about posture, he talks specifically about half lotus and full lotus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's really pretty specific about the posture. And I have taken that to heart,
mm-hmm.
and really tried to follow. And I just want to report that personally, it took me a lot of years to be able to move into the full lotus
mm-hmm.
without damaging my knees
mm-hmm.
or my body. So it's an exercise in patience. But I have to say that I find it is actually much more grounding. I don't need to sit on a zabuton or a zafu. I can sit on flat ground when I sit full lotus, so it becomes a much more portable practice. But I just want to actually agree with Dogen that posture is really good. That's my experience. Your mileage may vary.
I'm sure it is. I'm having trouble right now just sitting on a cushion because of problems with my hip. But I'm going to get to that, so I'm going to go into my talk shortly. Oh, I see one more person or two more people, but part of it is getting that, and you'll see, getting that breathing tube, and you get it really well in the full lotus, and you're grounded. And I'm sorry, Greg, I am never going to do the full lotus, or even the half anymore. One person online, China, and then Sue, and then I'll do my actual talk. Yes, China, please.
Thank you so much for everything you've done and are giving us. I simply wanted to surface the fact that I was unaware that Patricia was on with myself and I can't think of the woman's name, someone I didn't know but enjoyed. And she didn't get to say anything. And so I wonder, Patricia, if you have anything you want to say.
Well, let's see. Yeah, Patricia, just do you want to say anything briefly?
Well, because I seem to be invisible, and they weren't like pausing for me to start, I decided to get up and look for my copy, and I've just moved into where I am, and I just unpacked a lot of books, and I remember seeing that booklet that I have from San Francisco Zen Center, but I couldn't find it. But what I will tell you is that years ago, when I had been invited to go with some senior Iyengar yoga teachers to India to do this special teaching with Mr. Iyengar, Ed read some parts. I was living with Ed Brown at the time, and Ed read some parts to me from that, you know, where it talks about why do we need to go somewhere else when we do it right here? And that made me realize that I didn't have to go to India.
Ha, huh, wonderful. Thank you. And Sue, you have the last.
Thank you, Marianne. Just very briefly.
It's on.
People online didn't have this experience, but I really enjoyed just hearing the babble of voices, babble, as you said, all around me, and that sort of being part of this ocean of words and bouncing around and hearing Girija's voice saying the words I was saying just before me or just after me, and all these words just echoing around. It was really nice.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for entering into that. And now, I guess this is more or less my actual talk. And I realized as I came to this, well, that I wanted to review a little, but first I want to tell you what I'm talking about today is just the fifth and sixth paragraphs, which are the paragraphs basically about the really nitty-gritty instructions. And remember, he's giving these to lay people, not monks. This is for lay people. So he's really, you know, he laid it out last week. He set the stage. He explained why to come back and just sit. And now he's going to tell you how. But I wanted to go back to one phrase from last week. It's the pivotal phrase, learn the backward step that turns your light inward to illuminate yourself. And I thought Jean's words in her talk expressed it so beautifully. I'm going to read you a little bit from Jean's talk. She said, it opens, the Fukansa Zengi, with an invitation to stop, to take the first backward step, to cease from practice based on intellectual understanding. No chasing words or running after a tangible goal or accomplishment. This is an experience in trust. I lost myself. Trust that something is already here prior to our explaining it, that doesn't need to be built or earned or figured out before we can meet it directly. A trust in just being, forgetting who we think we are, a compass for discovering that when we let go, what remains is not less, but is everything. Thank you, Jean, for your beautiful words. Dogen wants us to come home right here, right now. He says, if you want to attain suchness, you should practice suchness without delay. But how? How do we practice? Well, he's practical. And this is, I've always been puzzled by this. He says in the start of the fifth paragraph, for sanzen, a quiet room is suitable. That always irritated me. Sanzen, you mean zazen, right? That's a typo. Actually, it's not. It's not a typo. I just thought it was another word for zazen. Well, in researching, I found a talk by Josho Pat Phelan. And Pat Phelan has long been the guiding teacher for the Chapel Hill Zen Center in North Carolina. And in her talk, she says this. The word sanzen is another word for dokusan, the private meeting between teacher and student. The first character, san, means to practice or examine carefully. And sanzen literally means penetrating zen. But in this passage, Dogen used sanzen to mean zazen. By doing this, he equated the importance of zazen with meeting a teacher face to face, implying, I think, that zazen is our teacher. Now, I'd like to add to that, implying that in right here, we, our teacher is here, right here. So I thought that was so cool. It's changed everything for me. So sitting, doing this activity that has no apparent purpose, zazen is our teacher. By the use of that word, Dogen emphasizes that in zazen, we come back to our true ground moment after moment after moment after moment. He wants us to stop, sit down, breathe, just be, just experience that. But again, how do we get going on this? How do we get doing it? He gives clear instructions. So he says, a quiet room is suitable. And a little later, at the site of your regular sitting, spread out thick matting and place a cushion above it. Well, that's pretty clear, right? A dedicated space. Have the intention to create a dedicated space. Could be with an altar, but at least a spot, whether it's your chair, some place you always come back to. And you know you can come there. It creates a habit in your body. He wants you to create a habit in your body so that as soon as you sit on the cushion, or maybe on any cushion, but especially your own, in your own spot, it says, settle. Settle down. Come home. Your body automatically starts to do that. And he wants that. So my altar, and I imagine most of you have altars in sitting places, but if you don't, I recommend it. My altar and sitting place, I feel, is now inside me. So I carry it wherever I go. Just like my breath, it's always with me. So it's portable. It's just right here. I can always settle back into this present moment. Present here and present with whatever's around me. Well, Dogen also says, cast aside all involvements and cease all affairs. So we do have to take time, right? We have to consciously take time. Well, I found another resource, Katagiri Roshi. He's got some talks that are transcribed, although you can also listen to them, but they're a little harder to understand. About Fukanza Zengi. And in his talks, he uses a phrase saying making arrangement. And he has several categories of things in the Fukanza Zengi that Dogen wants us to make arrangement of. The first is make arrangement of circumstances. So like cease all involvements, all affairs, set your place, arrangement of circumstances. And that means, again, intention. You're intending to really sit down and to tend this practice. It's just not random. Well, I'm busy. I'm always busy. My mind's busy. When I first began even before I began sitting in Zen, I was trying to find a regular meditation practice. But somehow I couldn't. I just couldn't arrange circumstances to be able to sit. And then I met with Norman, and he said, well, just get up a half hour earlier every day and do it. And so I do it, or I did do it that way as long as I worked. And that was pretty easy then, right? I had a pattern. But you get retired, so rude in a way. Not rude. I have a very all over the place schedule. And I don't get up at the same time, and I sleep in. It's been harder. And I've had to really go back to my intention to sit every morning, first thing when I get up, no matter if it's late or early in the morning. Whenever it is, that's what I have to do. So I'm wondering for you, how is this for you? Do you arrange your circumstances so you can be regular, commit to daily practice? What gets in the way? Repetitive practice creates patterns in our brain and body. I come to my cushion, right away begin to settle. No matter what, I'm supported. Well then, Katagiri Roshi would say that the following phrases have to do with arranging the brain nerve system. I kind of like how he parses out the different systems. So the brain nerve system, he says, Dogen says, do not think good or bad. Do not administer pros and cons. Cease all the movements of the conscious mind, the gauging of thoughts and views. So have the intention to arrange your brain nervous system. Well, this translation is one of my favorite phrases of all time. And it is, do not administer pros and cons. I just like that language because I'm always administering pros and cons. Do you notice as you're walking around, somebody does something and you like it or you don't like it, or they look at you funny or they say something, or just pros and cons, judgments all the time. He says, just let that stuff go. Cease the movements of the conscious mind, the gauging of thoughts and views. Just let it go. You don't have to do it. It's happening all the time, but you don't have to engage. Then Dogen says, have no designs on becoming a Buddha. Well, there's no becoming a Buddha because we are Buddha nature. There's nothing to grasp or cling to or try to attain. Attempting that is all extra. Well, Jean spoke of trust. Here are her words again. Take a few breaths as you listen and let these few phrases sink in. A trust in just being. Forgetting who we think we are, a compass for discovering that when we let go, what remains is not less, but is everything. I mean, really, look, just, don't you just feel some relaxation in your brain, in your mind, in your nervous system? Relief. Then Dogen goes on, Sanzen, remember Zazen as our teacher coming home, Sanzen has nothing whatever to do with sitting or lying down. Well, I take that to mean that stopping, taking a few breaths, coming home to our body and breath is not dependent on place or circumstance. We can embody Zazen mind anywhere. Not grasping or efforting, just whatever situation we are in, we can come back to the breath, to our bodies, to aware presence, moment to moment to moment. Well, can you think of times when you've done that? Maybe you've been really riled up, wound up. Maybe you're upset with somebody, or maybe you're in traffic, or the line at the grocery store is so darn long and you're in a hurry, or somebody's saying stuff politically that just sends you out of this world somewhere. Can you just come back to your Zazen mind, Zazen body, and breathe? Take a few moments. Maybe even say, if it's you're having a discussion with somebody, well, let me breathe for a moment and settle. And then release all your pros and cons and open your heart just to hear what the other person might be saying. Or if you're in a line, offer it just to, well, I can't push this line, so I offer it up. I'll just be present. We can do that. I forget all the time, but he's saying Zazen has nothing whatever to do with sitting or lying down. It can be any moment, any place. Well, next, Dogen goes into detail exactly on how to sit. And I have to make an apology to those of you online now, because some of you, I noticed, weren't able to join until after I'd done the guided meditation. And I did a guided meditation that was basically reading from Suzuki Roshi's, one of his talks in Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, but I edited it highly, and it was Suzuki Roshi's instructions about sitting Zazen. And his instructions, aside from the sitting in the half and full lotus, Greg, were all Dogen. It was all Dogen. So I'm not going to read Dogen's whole thing. We kind of read it to each other. But if you are able, when the recording comes out, listen to that first part, to that guided meditation. Listen to how Suzuki Roshi instructs and encourages us. So I'm sorry, those of you who missed it, because that's life. But Dogen, he was very detail-oriented, and he wanted his instructions to be clear and straightforward. Well, I'm going to come back to Katagiri Roshi now. He's talking about arrangement now of our sensory system. And he says, I'm not sure Dogen said this, but Katagiri says it, a quiet room, not too light, not too dark, just right. You know, just right so you can settle. You don't fall asleep because it's so dark. You're not, oh, that's just too bright and jangly. You make arrangement for your senses to have an optimal moment. Because when you can have an optimal moment in your Zazen, that will be with you when conditions are not optimal. So Dogen says, eyes open. Well, I've tried that. I do it sometimes when I want to stay awake. And I'm really, I cannot stay awake. I'll sit with my eyes open. It's not my favorite. It's a little too much. Katagiri says, eyes open, not too wide, not too narrowly. If I shut them, my mind goes off pretty soon. My head goes up and I'm off somewhere. So I think the eyes is important. That partially open, that downward gaze, that part of the posture is important to attend to be really just present. So we want to be alert and relaxed, but not falling asleep. Unless, you know, sometimes some of you may have a physiological thing, you know, that you just can't help but fall asleep, and then that's different. Well, Katagiri says, so that is how to make arrangement of the sensory world. Instead of destroying, escaping from, or expressing hatred toward the sensory world, we should deal with it. We're sensory beings. Then he wants us to make arrangement for our movement system, because that's what Dogen goes on to next. Arranging our body position, our hands, our alignment. And this is really important, and it speaks to what you said, Greg, about the full lotus. Because getting that body arrangement so that you really feel somehow grounded on your sit bones, you know, your Suzuki Roshi said to press down in your diaphragm as you're breathing, it does ground you. And so there's a free tube of air. You can really breathe naturally, easily, in and out. And yeah, full lotus is really good for that, you're right. But we have to do it the best we can. It makes me think of, for me it makes me think of aligning my body and my breath so that I'm kind of like a lotus in muddy water, right? I'm grounded, my roots are down in the earth and in the mud, but there's this, I'm here and I can take in and let it come and go, all that's coming in, the sunlight, whatever, rain, whatever. I also think of another analogy that is when I had a dancing class, a formal dancing class. And in this class, they spoke of having, when you dance, you have a form. You have a frame, they call it, I think, a frame. So for moving with your partner, and it keeps appropriate, you know, space, you can do a lot within it, and you're relaxed within it. So it's that idea of complete relaxation within a frame. That's what I think this organizing the movement system is, making arrangement for it. Then Katagiri talks about when our breath flows freely, we are also regulating the gut system. Did you ever hear that? The gut system, but I think it's internal organs and maybe emotions. He says we're a whole flowing body, heart, mind, being fully present. We're not just this little bit right up here in the prefrontal cortex. A whole body flowing heart, mind, organism. Well, let's take a little break for a moment. Don't get up. This is a break just for you to breathe a little bit, because all this sounds a little bit strict. Maybe sometimes when I read Dogen's instructions, I might get a little uptight. So here's a reading I found. It's another Suzuki Roshi guided meditation. That's from a talk he gave in 1966, and it's on way-seeking mind and posture. It makes me smile. So just relax. You can put your eyes half-closed if you want, whatever you want, and just breathe gently and enjoy these words. Here's Suzuki Roshi. However, if you continue your practice, you will discover your own posture, good or bad. Then you can say it may be better to put some more strength in your abdomen. Make your posture straighter. Or you may find that you are leaning forward or backward. That you have some posture, your own posture, is at the same time to have some bad habits. Without bad habits, you cannot improve your posture. And he laughs. It's good for us to have bad habits. But you ask me, what is right posture? That is also a mistake. Whatever you do is right. Nothing is wrong with what you do, but some improvement is necessary. So the point is not whether your posture is right or wrong. The point is constant effort or way-seeking mind. So that's Suzuki Roshi's later or other words on this, which I find so refreshing. And from that little bit, and I should tell you that last week, I think it was last week, at Dharma Heart Zen with Chris Fortin, she read that while we were sitting, and I just felt, oh gosh, how wonderful. And so I asked her for it. And what I get from it is a little mantra: perfectly imperfect posture, perfectly imperfect sitting. Let's be kind to ourselves, and if we need to improve a bit, well, we can, you know? Well, now we're all settled, we're at the place of our sitting, grounded, breathing, and we may notice that our minds are just talking up a storm. I should say my mind is, often. It's not new, it's what a mind does. Uchiyama Roshi calls it mind secretions. Just like hormones, you know, are secreted by certain organs. Well, you might have heard this. The mind secretes thoughts. It just thinks. It can't help itself. The mind, it has to do it. Our mind, and at least my mind, is always going, judging, comparing, thinking, wondering. And I think it's fabulous, fabulous to have an active, awake mind. It's good to notice also all that's been going on under the radar of our consciousness. And when we sit, we notice all of it. It all just comes, all the jumble of judgments, thoughts, fears, whatever. And it's good to notice them because, wow, that's been going on all the time and influencing your behavior. But we need to know how to release, how to let thoughts come and go, how to have a little gap as the thoughts come and as they go, how to settle our minds. And I have an image that helps me and to do this. And this image is, I use it when I'm having trouble sometimes. I'll be sitting and I'll imagine that somebody's just dropped a pebble, and I might be this pebble, into a flowing stream. And as I'm breathing and trying to settle, the petals just slowly dropping through the water until it lands right on the sand at the bottom of the stream. And there I am, just relaxing on the bottom of the stream. Leaves, sticks, pieces of junk, thoughts, feelings come and go. I notice them. But I don't have to reach up and grab them. I can just stay right there. I try to just, okay, pebble on the bottom of the stream. Noticing, but not grasping. And that's one of my images that really helps me. And it relates to the end of this section from Dogen, where he says, think not thinking. How do you think not thinking? Non-thinking, this is in itself the essential art of Zazen. Well, what I just described is sort of my take on that. But I think Suzuki Roshi, one more time, has something more to help us really get this sense of non-thinking. And this that I'm going to read you in a moment is from Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, and it's in the chapter on breathing. And he gives us the imagery of a swinging door. So I'm going to ask you to settle into your breath one more time. Just relax and listen. And let yourself gently appreciate Suzuki Roshi's words as I read to you. Enjoy yourself and let his words penetrate. He says, when we practice Zazen, our mind always follows our breathing. When we inhale, the air comes into the inner world. When we exhale, the air goes out to the outer world. The inner world is limitless. And the outer world is also limitless. We say inner world or outer world, but actually there is just one whole world. In this limitless world, our throat is like a swinging door. The air comes in and goes out, like someone passing through a swinging door. If you think, I breathe, the I is extra. There is no you to say I. What we call I is just a swinging door, which moves when we inhale and when we exhale. It just moves. That is all. When your mind is pure and calm enough to follow this movement, there is nothing. No I, no world, no mind, no body, just a swinging door. You and I are just swinging doors. This kind of understanding is necessary. This should not even be called understanding. It is actually the true experience of life through Zen practice. So when we sit, we concentrate on our breathing, and we become a swinging door. When we become truly ourselves, we just become a swinging door. And we are purely independent of, and at the same time, dependent upon everything. And that, thank you everyone, that is the end of my talk. So, I have a prompt for our discussion groups. I think we have time for, maybe 12 minutes, groups of 3-4 minutes each person, or 3 minutes each person, say 3 minutes and then a little extra. Here's the question. How do you experience or understand non-thinking? So, groups of 3 or 4 or 2, whatever, you know, we can manage. Go to it for 12 minutes.